Now, you ought to know who that is. You just ought to know that's the fabulous multi-award-winning Coco Taylor with Let the Juke Joint Jump. It's from her aptly named 1993 album, Force of Nature. Coco Taylor won the Blues Music Award 24 times as Contemporary Blues Female Artist, Entertainer of the Year, Female Artist, Traditional Blues Female Artist, Vocalist of the Year, and other categories. She was inducted in the Blues Hall of Fame in 1997 and received the Blues Foundation Lifetime Achievement Award in 1999. She died on May the 19th that year at her home in Kildare, Illinois, just south of Chicago. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and it is Free Your Mind Friday, the best peer-to-peer education program on the planet. And how does it work? You get to say what's on your mind, and we get to react to it. Call 888-874-4888 to get things started. Lots to talk about because this has been a news-crammed week. And the ramifications of many stories will continue beyond this week, of course. So let's hear what you're thinking, what's on your mind. 888-874-4888. We starting with E from Edgewater. You're on the air. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Eutrice.
Hello.
Hope you and the PRN family are doing well today.
I hope so, too. Thank you so much for your kind thought.
I just want to say a few words about the Comey thing yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, he keeps calling Trump a liar. And all Trump did was give him his opinion that the FBI was needed to be revamped and was dimly lit. That's an opinion, not a lie. So he keeps calling him a liar. That's like a slander. If Trump was mean, he could bring him to court for slandering him, calling him a liar about 10 times yesterday. Then he also was the one that leaked the stuff. So he was responsible for all of this nonsense going on in the election, seems to me, by leaking things, and he keeps accusing the Russians of being involved in something without any proof. So it was amazing to me of all these things that he was saying while under oath, and just seemed to be implicating himself into something even worse than he was in. That's the way I feel about it. Hello?
Yes, I'm listening. I thought you were going to add some more.
Well, it seemed to me everything that he was saying was just helping Trump to look good. Now Trump is the new Teflon Don. Remember the old Teflon Don, John Gotti? Now Donald Trump's the new Teflon Don, in charge of the number one crime family in the world, the United States, and Russia's probably the number two crime family.
Anyway, do you think it was just about that, or do you see that, in your view, did Comey score any points at all against Trump?
No, like I said, the way everything I was hearing him say, he was implicating himself in lying, and he's accusing Trump of lying. And Trump was just giving an opinion. If I give an opinion that I think the FBI needs to be revamped and is dimly lit, that's an opinion. And he kept saying, he's a liar, he's a liar. That's perjury.
Well, let me ask you, what, in your view, did Comey lie about?
Well, didn't he lie about somebody was leaking some information, and he leaked this thing. Now he admitted it. But he was lying about it before yesterday. He wasn't admitting it. Yesterday he admitted he was the one that leaked this thing to his friends who knew somebody in the press. I don't even know what it was about. Was it about some Russian thing?
No, he leaked some information to a professor at Columbia University who supposedly is his friend. And that professor's job, it was understood, that the professor would in turn leak the information provided by Comey to the media.
Right.
Which is how that happened. But I'm glad that you listened in. Did you watch the whole thing?
No, I didn't watch it. I don't have TV, and I don't know if it was on a computer or not, but I just listened to it on the radio for about an hour or so. I was that interested, and I'm no champion of Trump, but I think, you know, from what I was hearing, that he said it was nothing that was going to be like Watergate, and it seems to me he did everything he could to help Trump while he was trying to make Trump look bad, but instead he was looking bad, and Trump was coming out of this looking like the Teflon Don, like I said.
Well, I happen to agree in large measure with you, because I said the same thing yesterday, listening and watching the proceedings, I was quite disappointed that the questions asked of him were so a bit outside of what I expected the committee to really concentrate on. And it gave Comey, in effect, and I'll talk about this later on, today is Listener's Day, and I want to dissect that testimony and the whole event, because it was particularly organized. It was very subtle, but it was definitely noticed it. So we'll talk about that another time. Thanks, E, for calling.
Thank
and
you very much.
Getting us started today. Marie from Baltimore, you're on the air.
Hello again. I hope I'm not too much of a pest, but your girl...
Not at all.
Your girl, Hillary, I'm saying that jokingly, was in Baltimore this week. Did you know that?
No. What was she in Baltimore for?
She was here Tuesday, and I consider her a fierce, fast-talking, fake feminist liberal, and she was in Baltimore in reference to Elijah Cummings' fundraiser event.
Oh.
Speaking about the youth going to Israel and strengthening their relationship with Jews and training and stuff so forth like that, I feel we need to develop a relationship among the Jews and the U.S. in reference to African-American youth. Why go over to Israel for public service and training and leadership when Israel is still killing Palestinians? You know, it doesn't make sense. We need training in our own African communities so we can get along better, but we don't need to go to Israel to learn training and so forth, whatever they do. We now have, I think, 150 homicides in Baltimore, and we are rated the highest in the country. I would hate to see another 6 months of another 150 homicides, which will add up to 300 by the end of December of this year. I don't have anything else to say, but I just thought I'd let you know she was here, and I don't know the situation up in New York at that Medgar Evers College. I saw nothing on the television or radio about that situation. Do you have any information?
Well, it was covered in the local press, and I think I see someone in queue. who's associated with the protests, so we should hear from him shortly. But let's go back to this idea about Hillary Clinton being in Baltimore for Elijah Cummings. Now, what does that indicate to you? Elijah Cummings is one of the senior African-American congressmen and quite loud, usually, about things that he is interested in and disinterested in. But he has been, as most of the African-American contingent in Congress generally, very, very supportive of Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
And what do you read about her presence in Baltimore to support Elijah Cummings?
Oh, in reference to Elijah Cummings, I was going to say something you said some time ago, not too long ago, that I think Hillary is using the black community, and others have said it, to accomplish something else she wants.
What do you think that is?
I have no idea. I don't know whether she wants to.
Yes, you do.
She, hopefully, I hope she doesn't try to run for president again.
Hey, there you go. I told you you knew exactly what it was.
No, I know.
She has been basically working to establish footholds in the African-American community, which she calculates will be the most faithful part of her political base should she run. Now, this woman is amazing in the sense that she's so brazen, but I read it as that. Elijah Cummings would be a very, very influential partner in her effort to run again. And she, you know, the whole thing with Medgar Evers and so forth, Hillary Clinton is strategizing for another run. I don't care what anybody says. Mm-hmm. She's strategizing to come back to public life. And this is how she is building her base, rebuilding her base. So you knew it all along.
I don't know. I don't know. But she's not doing this for what is it, for human rights?
Come on.
She's not. She's not. And you know, she has a lovely grandma smile and everything.
Yeah.
But she's a phony, and I heard that she really doesn't like women. And
well, I heard the exact opposite.
Oh, yeah,
that she
opposite.
Really likes women.
I just heard something else, but. It will be interesting to see whether or not African Americans will back her, only maybe because she's in the Democratic Party. And
Because her base has eroded. They've fallen out of love with her for obvious reasons. So she is suffering a political deficit.
Yes.
And, of course, as is the case for most politicians, salvation is to be obtained in black and brown communities. That's where that's where they go when they really need help and are in a state of distress.
And she brought her daughter and grandchildren to a Fells Point. That's where she spoke. I think Fells Point
that
is a
tweet.
Pardon me?
I said that to tweet.
Yeah. Now, that is a white community, I believe.
Yeah.
Southeast Baltimore.
But, you know, pay attention to this visit in Baltimore. This is a significant move. It is not to be dismissed. Elijah Cummings, she will lean heavily on him because he's got the biggest mouth in Congress. And he will fight for her. He has already begun to. He has already begun to do that. So he will be a pivotal, he will play a pivotal role in supporting her, whether it is for president or for some other office. But you can bet on Elijah Cummings basically being a very enthusiastic supporter of Hillary Clinton.
He is, and he had his arms around her. So,
oh.
But But listen, thank you so much, and have a lovely day.
Thank you. He should have had his arms around you and all the other black people who've been putting up with his craziness for so long. Thanks so much for calling
in,
Marie. You're
welcome, dear. Take care. Bye-bye.
From New York, Daoud. Is this the Daoud?
How are you, Chief?
Hi.
Greetings to your audience. I want to apologize for yesterday. It was very loud out there. I missed a call from PRN. So just an update. It went very well for us over there. We didn't have the numbers that we would have liked, but it was a very spirited protest. Outside and inside, the New York Times this morning reported that numerous occasions Medgar Evers' staff asked students to stand up for Hillary Clinton, and they said they were there that students didn't stand up for Hillary Clinton, that the school felt kind of was a disrespect to her. But outside we had, of course, Komokoda, we had the United African Movement, Freedom Party folks, New Abolitionist Movement. There were some Black Lives Matter young folks who came out. And we ended up giving out a lot of flyers, and a lot of media came to get an interview, find out why we were there, which, of course, you know, they knew, because our signs were clear that Hillary Clinton is no role model for black youth. That, and to denounce not just Rudy Crew, but the entire
administration of Medgar Evers. President of the college, of Medgar Evers College,
who allegedly
invited Hillary Clinton to deliver the commencement speech and to receive an honorary doctorate of humane letters, basically to make her presence felt on this auspicious occasion.
And, of course, Merle Evers was not there.
Merle Evers is the widow of Medgar Evers.
Uh-huh.
And they were touting in news releases that she was going to be there along with her daughter and along with her grandchildren to welcome in her behalf the her dear friend, Hillary Clinton, occasion of the commencement.
They announced that Merle was ill. And I was wondering if she got ill the morning of, or like, why didn't they say Merle is not coming, you know? But anyway, we want to thank everyone from the PR and audience who came through. Very strong. A lot of people made calls. A lot of people sent letters. A lot of people helped us to give out about 15,000 flyers, you know. So what was interesting is while we were out there, even the folks who were pretending to support Hillary Clinton, they kept apologizing for her, saying, well, she made a mistake, you know, like calling the kids, the black youth, super predators. This was a mistake. And do we not have forgiveness in our hearts? And but so anyway, thank you, Utrice. I let the audience speak, but we were very satisfied with what happened yesterday, and our struggle, it continues. And if, as you say, she is planning to come back, I think a lot of people will be laughing at her. You know, and it will turn out even worse than it did against Donald Trump. I don't know who she will lose to this time. So thank you.
Thank you. And I'm so happy that the protest was purposeful, that you got participation at the level that you expected, meaning people bringing themselves to the battle and facing her down. I did see some reports from I think it's called the Brooklyn, the Kings County something or the other.
Kings County Politics.
Oh, yes, that's what it's called. And I saw also an article in the Daily News. I didn't see the New York Times article, but clearly you had an impact. All the protesters had an impact, reminding folks that there is within the African-American community a sizable number of people who know Hillary very, very well and are offended by this woman's presence at the Medgar Evers College commencement, and receiving on top of that, not just making the commencement speech, but receiving an honorary doctorate of humane letters. I mean, come on here. You know, somebody's got to say, not all of us have lost our minds. Thanks, Dawood. Good to hear from you. From New York, Patricia, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrice, and good afternoon to the PRN family. I hope all is well.
Thank you.
I just want to tag on to what Dawood just said. You know, Hillary's standing in the Democratic Party right now is not very high. As a matter of fact, they are really asking her to stand down, especially since she came out recently to say that she didn't have all the support that she thought she needed, that the DNC did not provide her with the level of support that she felt that she should have received in comparison to what Donald Trump got from the Republican Party. So they're asking her to stand down because they view her as a liability. But I think it's really incumbent upon us to have people always say that the memory of black folks are very, very short. And I think this is where we have to have a long history lens, so that if, in fact, her goal is to become sanitized so that she can resurface in the African-American community, that we need to be very proactive and have our ammunition ready so that on a much larger scale, we can educate our people. I mean, we won't be able to get everybody, but to the extent that people don't have the necessary information that they need to proceed in a conscious way, we need to begin to prepare for that. So, you know, I think what happened yesterday was just absolutely wonderful. I think Kumamoto should be congratulated. But I think the next step is to make certain that no matter where she goes, that she received the response, the reaction that she got yesterday.
I think so, too, because this is a woman without conscience. And in my view, this is an intentional criminal. And most of the damage that she and her husband and now her daughter, Chelsea, have done and are doing is within the black world. It's within the black world. You know, it just came to light as a news story that going back to Arkansas, when she was so-called First Lady of Arkansas, she used black prisoners to work.
As domestic,
even
yes.
In her house.
Yes,
I mean,
as domestic, yes, yes. But the other thing, that the other reason I called was I wanted to talk about the media. You know, we're always, in the black, people in general get most of their news from the media, and they always believe everything they read. And I think this revelation that Comey used this Columbia law professor, Daniel Richmond, to do his dirty work, you know, people need to begin to understand the role of media, that media is not independent. Media is manipulative and can be manipulated. Not even manipulated. Mr. Richmond was a co-conspirator with Mr. Comey. And so while people rely on the media, I think hopefully this demonstrates to people that, in fact, the media is not independent. And if this doesn't do it, I don't know what will.
Well, you see, the idea here showing up about the sinkhole. One of the things is, you see how the circle is getting wider and wider, so that if any one of them, whether it's Loretta Lynch or this professor at Columbia University, or Comey himself, and any of the actors is in a position to take them all down, certainly Hillary Clinton. And if there were a real vigorous investigation, it would take at least a good 4 years to really examine the length and breadth of this cabal that has been operating as a parallel government for a long, long time. And you will see one of the biggest, widest, deepest sinkholes in America. This is how it works. Mm. They have their people positioned. I mean, Comey looked like, I mean, such a straight-up, stand-up guy. The kind of guy, you know, you want your daughter to marry. He's just totally a totally principled guy. Very, very straightforward. He is the embodiment of good ethics and ideals. But he's not. And he hasn't been for a very long time.
You know, he came across looking like a choir boy with angels, you know, with angelic wings over his head. And what I found very interesting was that every senator, their prelude before they asked him a question was about to congratulate him on his service and his integrity. I mean, before they even asked the question, they had already laid the foundation that this was a man of integrity.
Absolutely. He's a man of incontrovertible integrity. I want to ask you a question. I want to know whether you noticed what happened yesterday, even before the inquiry officially began. Comey submitted to the committee, to members of the committee, his statement. And he submitted it also to the media.
To the press.
A written statement. Now, you're a very perceptive person. What was the purpose of that?
I think you got me today, Utrecht.
Oh, no. You're just like Marie from Baltimore. She swears she didn't have the answer. And it was right there all along.
Well, I think it was to be proactive in terms of his position and to lay the foundation that he was totally blameless in this whole situation.
Yes, but here's what happened. I mean, it's a psychological move. He puts it out there before, well, the media will just, you know, take it literally and run with it because they have no brains for the most part and they don't do much independent work. But that was Comey's first indication that he was calling the shots or was attempting to call the shots by framing the questions he was likely to be asked. In other words, he changed it from an investigation into a kind of discussion. And, you know, he gave the committee officially where he would like the discussion to go. He raised his issues and, in a sense, put them in a position of reacting to what he said. It's a very interesting move. So that they, no matter what it is, they were likely to ask if they were to come to this as truly independent people, they were so heavily influenced by this statement that most of the questions were based on what he said in his statement. So he had control. It's very fascinating how they do these kinds of things and think people can't spot it.
Very interesting. Well, have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you, Patricia. You too. 888-874-4888. This is Free Your Mind Friday on Lead Stories. Time for you to have your say about what you think is important in the universe this week. It's important for us to talk to each other because you can see the direct benefit of that right away where people are exchanging information. It does not matter whether people agree with you or don't agree with you. That's not the purpose of that, of this. Oh, you're hearing landscapers buzzing again. That's not the purpose of it all. The purpose is for us to get used to talking to each other and talking about your position on things. You have a right to occupy intellectual space. That's what I think. So take advantage of it. We'll take the short break and come back to your calls at 888-874-4888. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM, and we go to David from Brooklyn. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, you, Therese. I've listened for the last couple of days. I didn't listen much to Mr. Comey, maybe a half an hour or an hour or so when he spoke, but you said something before that was very important. So I would call that he set the stage. That's what he did when he released his remarks before he testified. And when I was thinking of Mr. Comey, what went through my mind is that what most people don't think of, I don't believe, is that the Federal Bureau of Investigation, i.e. that is the FBI, is the secret police. And Mr. Comey was in charge of the secret police. And as he was talking, what was going through my mind all the time was all the damage and dirty tricks that the secret police do to the people that live here. What they have done in terms of things that happened during the Civil Rights Movement, what has been done of all this setup of sort of hapless, ignorant people who happen to be Muslims or African Americans and setting them up and using that type of action to present to the people that they're catching terrorists, that is, terrorists that they have set up themselves. So the secret police do what secret police do, whatever country they're in. Now, all this stuff about the Russians, now what's going through my mind is every country in the world does spying and hacking and investigating, including the United States and the Russians and numerous other countries. And if the Russians had a particular interest in favoring one candidate or another in the American elections, well, other people do that. Other countries, of all these countries in the world, nearly 200, lots of them are doing the same thing all over the world. So that's nothing new. What I see here is a situation no different than the bullfighter who uses a cape to distract the bull going off into area that will make him safe and setting up for the kill and or the coup de grace to get the bull. The point is that I don't want to put all my energy in worrying about Mr. Comey and Mr. Trump. I'm thinking about the mission stays the same, whether Trump is in there or somebody else. The mission is the same, and the people's attention is being distracted all the time by various things, including the media, which is controlled by the ruling class. So don't expect the media to be doing the thing that is necessarily good for the people. They are bought and paid for, and that's the extent of it. All these little senators and congressmen and whatnot sitting up there, nothing but vassals, and people ought to realize that. So I'm not going to give much energy to this type of thing because the mission is the same, and the people's position is not being taken into full consideration. The ruling class are the ones who are benefiting from all of this that's going on.
But you must admit that seeing it in the works, seeing it unfold, is a kind of education about how one system interacts with the other and with the media as well. All these systems come together right before our eyes to produce a false reality, a false narrative.
Absolutely, absolutely correct. But if you are the average person who's been, quote unquote, educated in these schools and have been affected by what the media is doing, I don't think most people, that is my opinion, are able to analyze what is going on. So their attention is not really on what it should be on. It's on all of this drama, and I'd say acting and things that are going on to get their attention away from the real thing, which is to enrich those at the top and, you know, impoverish those at the bottom. Because I'm walking around here all the time and I'm seeing nothing but food banks and soup kitchens and poor people all around. And, you know, that's the real issue. And things like the FBI that has a huge, huge budget, FBI, secret police, they're doing operations like setting people up to arrest them as terrorists after they're the ones that recruited them. So, you know, people need to get it. They need to understand the system they're living in, and there are many things, but you have to know how to interpret. And every day you can even look at the ruling class's paper, like the Times, but you have to be skillful in knowing how to read it. And the wording. I mean, there's so many things that you're not going to learn in the ruling class's school. They're not going to teach you that in the charter school or the public school or the little colleges that you go to. So it's very important for people to learn how to do the system analysis that we've talked about many times before.
Well, I still think there's value in observing very carefully what is unfolding, because it involves another parallel conspiracy here to take down the president, and how they do it. How they take down a president, this is a particular process. And I just mentioned to Patricia, we also noticing and observing how the political sinkhole works.
Yes, yes.
And we should be also grateful in a way that we have an opportunity to observe the other side of the coin, which is, how does Trump, a targeted president, how does he come out of the hole that they try to put him in? How does he bounce back, if he can bounce back at all, from this conspiracy of all these different sectors to take him down. It's a fascinating thing to observe.
Yes, it is very fascinating. But one part of me says he's going to survive this. You know, I don't think the little Republicans are going to throw him out. I don't think so. It could happen. But the point is, what I think most of the time is that mission. And the mission is in their favor. They're getting all the things with all this private public partnership and neoliberalism that's going on, where everything public is going to be turned into private. You know, Trump is still on board with that. So
of course,
they may not like his style. But
he has to be. You see, the establishment Republican Party thinks he's an embarrassment and thinks he ought to go. But his base is still faithful to him.
Oh, yes, yes. No matter
so he presents
what kind of history
an anomaly
nine,
here.
What
are you going to do
him.
With a guy like this? Do you let him stay or do you take him out? And either way, how do you do it?
Yes. That's
so for that reason, I'm fascinated by how this is working and how it's unfolding. But
yes.
I agree with you 100% that the overarching aim in terms of the system, it remains exactly the same.
Right. And I think people need to get that. And don't be like the bull in the ring when the matador's there.
Fascinated by that red coat.
Watch that bullfighter, that matador with his sword.
Thank you, David, for calling in today. Always something to learn from you. Ali from New York, you're on the air.
How are you, Trish? How are you doing?
New York is strong today. How are you doing, Ali?
I'm doing well, and I just wanted to say hello to all the listeners. And I was thinking, it's funny that you asked Patricia that question, because I was thinking about that yesterday. And let's just face it, this man was the FBI director. He's a lawyer. He had all these positions. He was in the George Bush administration and Obama administration. What he did, actually, it was a form of manipulation. Not just to the senator to have those questions ready, but to us, the citizens. Because, we heard so much information about this paper that he had given to that professor in Colombia. And then, you know, you heard so much that you were actually prepared for the questions yourself. But one question that I wish that I could have been there and asked was, when he got to the Oval Office, who was there with the gangster, Trump? Kushner was there, Accession was there before he got there, because that's one thing that I was thinking about when he was talking about that incident where he was left behind with the big gangster. And he knew this man, if he's the director of the FBI, he worked for the, it's like he's a policeman. Don't you think that he will know what the gangster wants? So we shouldn't be thinking that, oh, my God, this guy just figured out that Trump will be lying. He knew that Trump would be lying. I mean, Trump had been lying all along. But one of the things that I just was thinking about was what you just said, what is unfolding. To me, it's not the investigation about hacking the DNC. To me, it's the investigation of the contact of Trump, Kushner, Jeff Sessions, Flynn, and others before the elections and after the election with the Russians. That is why it should be unfolding there. That is why it should be investigated. What these people have been doing, because Jeff Sessions himself had more than two communications where when he was asked, he never said that he had communication with the Russians. And now I hear that he had about four communications with the Russian. So
I think the only people who haven't had communication so far with the Russians might be you and me.
I agree.
From the way things look, everybody has had communications with the Russians.
Yeah, and one of the embarrassing things from that front, I didn't watch the whole thing because I knew that he would never have anything that we already knew. So, but one of the things that is the most embarrassing from that is the information, not that they came out from the hearing that is being talked now, how four firms, New York law firms, they don't want to represent Trump. That is the most embarrassing. And that I think that is one thing that he himself has to be worried about. What will happen to him when all these law firms, they don't want to represent the president? And the last thing that I have to say about the whole thing is that when Comey was talking about how he served the Bush, the George Bush, the Obama, and he never took any notes, I was just laughing because one guy was too dumb for him. The other man was a black man that he probably didn't think anything of it. The only one that he took notes were from this bozo, the clown, that he knew that he was a big liar. And that's the reason that he did it.
Well, what I'm hoping that we can benefit from shortly is an inside look at how the moving parts were operating under Trump. Were they different from the way they operated under Clinton or Obama or, for that matter, Bush? I mean, is this something so rare, so very different that we are witnessing now under Trump that we didn't see before or was not reported in great depth before now? You know, I always look at these things. Yes, it sounds like it's all new, and therefore it is that serious because things are coming to light that we just never knew or never experienced before. I don't believe that. I just am interested in how they're managing the information coming out. That is the great thing. How are they shaping our points of view and our opinions? Because there is something else happening. Hillary Clinton is definitely gearing up to do something, but she's also got a problem, which Elijah Cummings and others will have to kind of go in front of her to make her palatable. So they're cleaning up her image quickly so that whatever stench that covers her by the time she declares would substantially be abated. So you watch all these moving parts, who's doing what, and then it begins to make sense. So far, we're only seeing the tip of the iceberg, but hopefully, if the independent media, actually, and the conservative media are really doing an excellent job. Those are the people you pay attention to. That doesn't mean that they're always right, but it means that they're investing in the information that they produce the way old-fashioned media people used to do and no longer do. For example, all these lawsuits that should have been filed by the established anti-corruption people, civil rights people, activist organizations, they're no longer doing that work. So the conservative views, now you have to be very careful how you tread there, but you look at the information they're providing and they're doing a heck of a lot better than the mainstream media in bringing to light things that we ought to know. But I think your point is right, too, that we really have to keep in mind what the agenda is. We have to keep in mind that we are getting an overwhelming concern, a lot of reporting on an agency and the head of an agency that we used to, you know, look at with one eye open and one eye closed. But now we're seeing that the media have picked sides. So the independence of their information is to be questioned. Thanks, Ali. Good to hear from you. Michael from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hi, Utrice, and hello to the friends at the PRN audience.
Thank you.
I was very disturbed watching a little bit, observing some of what I saw yesterday with Comey, and I saw him trying to make himself, just performing a very self-serving duty for himself. And he tried to present himself as holier than thou, non-political, non-ideological, independent, and that nobody could be over him. He is the boss of the boss. So who is to evaluate the FBI? Nobody. Comey made himself the evaluator, said that Trump is lying with his evaluation. And nobody can evaluate the FBI but me, because this is
we know that the boss of the FBI boss is the head of the Department of Justice.
Right, and he diminished that role too. He put himself beyond that because they're incapable. They have to recuse themselves, or in the case of the Democratic, what's her name? The last Attorney General.
Loretta Lynch, you're talking about?
She also had to recuse herself. So in a sense, he put the FBI or whoever, the deep state, whatever he represents, he put him beyond political, beyond the choice of the people, beyond everything. He is the truth. He is the seeker of truth. And he is an authority beyond all other authorities. And this is what
I
saw him doing in a very...
Did you notice that slight move in attacking Loretta Lynch?
Yes, because he wants to trivialize everybody.
What do you think he's doing when he attacks Loretta Lynch?
Yes, he did that too, because he wanted to diminish the role of the Attorney General and make that appear political and small-minded as well. Only he could be the big-minded, you know, beyond any political concerns. And it's completely false, because he's absolutely political. He's ideology, he's picked sides, he's done everything else. But it's a false narrative, like you said.
But there's a reason. Why do you think he attacked Loretta Lynch?
Well, as I suggested, I think he was trying to not only diminish the role of Jeff Sessions, but the role of the Attorney General in particular. He tried to make them look political. He tried to make them look non-independent.
In attacking Lynch, he certainly indicated that he was distancing himself not only from her office but from her decisions, and that is in anticipation of the issue of Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton being raised.
That's right.
You see, a little bit down the road, it will come to that.
Yes.
And there's no way that he could, under normal circumstances and based on his performance so far, there's no way that he could distance himself from the responsibility of that awful outcome.
But he somehow prevented them from picking that scab. I mean, it came out, he declared that Loretta Lynch is also diminished in her role and incapable of being independent, but he didn't he didn't let anybody else pick that scab, or nobody else pick that scab and said, well, wait a minute, you're not independent because you used those words that she said to you to use.
But you see, they never got into that.
Hillary Clinton,
because
you
his statement was what shaped the nature of the interaction between those who should have questioned him closely and him. They didn't, I mean, they were basically asking questions within the parameters given. And the parameters given were how James Comey saw the world.
Exactly. He could only evaluate, Trump couldn't evaluate him and say he was doing a lousy job. That's a lie. Only Comey could evaluate the situation because he's above everybody else. Everybody else is partisan, ideological, non-independent, so they have no capacity to be an evaluator. Only James Comey can evaluate the situations, and this is the way I see it.
Thanks, Michael, for your input today, and thank you for your call. Well, that brings us to the end of our program. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Alternative Visions with Dr. Jack Rasmus. Absolutely, you should stay tuned for that program. You can reach me at leadstories, L-E-I-D, stories at gmail.com. And this is a weekend which you should set aside to enjoy and to avoid people who bring nothing valuable to your life. Put on your sneakers and run like hell away from them. A pleasure always, and a great privilege to be in your company. I so cherish being in your company. I really do. So we'll see each other Monday. And in the meantime, take care. Bye-bye.